You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning here live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parsons, Tony Cicada, Greg Sussman here with you. So I have a little story. So as we were talking about the bathroom thing just a moment ago, as you guys know in the studio know with me, I got a text message from my girlfriend's mom saying, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second?"
Yeah.
I'm just like, "Yeah." Like, is everything okay?
That's the first thing I would be thinking.
So I'm just like, she's like, "Yeah, okay." So during the break,
she knows that you are on the radio in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, so it sounds urgent, obviously. Yeah.
That's right. So during the break, I went out there and, you know, I called her. And I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" "Hey, Greg, I just wanted to let you know, my husband and I, we just got a new car." "Yeah, that's great. That's great." And they gave us free Sirius in it for 6 months.
Oh, boy.
What channel are you on?
So when we asked Judy, like, "What channel are you on?" He told me, "You're no longer on Sirius anymore."
Yeah.
I told them, "Well, you know what? I don't want the free Sirius."
Good for her. Good for her. Clap it up for Judy's mom.
We're going to be canceling it immediately.
There you go, right there. That's exactly, that's loyalty.
That's loyalty right
there,
right?
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Shout out to Judy's mom.
Oh, shout out to Judy's mom. There you go. This is good stuff. Hey, coming up this hour on the program, we're going to hear...
But did she get the app?
She did, in fact, download the app. When Judy,
thank God.
Told her that, "Listen, Ma, you got to download the app." You know, some of these people, they don't understand.
Yeah,
no. I actually had this conversation with someone yesterday or the day before about the whole downloading the app. And sometimes I like that. It's like you're knocking your head against the wall. Just tell them to go to FNTSY.com/radio because the app thing is never gonna.
Well, I actually thought the app thing was easier. It's like, all right, you don't have to go to any of the websites or iTunes. Just download the app and just press a button.
It depends on who you're explaining it to.
Totally. So, both her and her husband, they got the app now. Mm-hmm. We're good, but I feel like she didn't realize that it's live and it's like right now.
Yeah, like I'm doing this.
I'm actually doing this right now.
She's got the app, she'd know not to call you during this time.
Well, you know. Yeah. Mamas don't care.
No, they don't.
They don't care. Which is a nice thing, you know, they're your mother for a reason.
My daughter's grandmother, me and her have gotten into some really heated discussions at a couple points over the past couple years.
During the show.
No. She doesn't care about the show either. My mother will call during the show.
Right.
And be like, "Why you not answering?" And I'll be like,
"I'm working."
Yeah, and then she'll be like, "I don't," you know what I'm saying? Like,
how do you want me to make money, Mom?
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
Came out of my womb.
Exactly.
The phone when I call you.
And that's basically what her thing is. You answer the telephone.
Seems
when I
fair.
Call you.
It seems fair when you put it that way, I guess. So, yeah, Corey, I've had a really interesting. Going back to our conversation, you're not into the tier thing.
No, I'm such.
What do you just like? Go to Tristan Cockcroft's rankings, print them out, and just all right.
I'm using rankings to scratch names off. You know what I'm saying? That's
everything
that.
Else is in your head.
Everything else is in my head. I've done so many mock drafts and be so deep into it, and I kind of got a good feeling of where everybody's at on the board. So tiers are something I really don't get into.
I don't necessarily, you know, line up the tiers on a piece of paper or a spreadsheet, but I like to Corey's point. I'll know in my mind when a tier is about to drop off and maybe I need to attack that position. You know, when I was up yesterday in like my slow draft, I'm like, should I go Russell Martin here? Because then the tier drops.
Right, you asked me that.
You know, and that's exactly where my thinking was at.
So did you do it?
Russell Martin went to pick right before me, so my decision was made.
But if you're looking at tiers as far as positions, then how can you also look at tiers as far as categories? So it's like it's two different things. Because what is Russell Martin going to give? Russell Martin's not going to give you no category help. He's going to give you position help.
So I agree it's two different things, and that's why...
It was kind of a combination for me, though, of that. I looked at it. It's an on-base percentage league. He can give me .340 and a pretty good slugging percentage and 22 home runs from that position. So, I considered that as well, and I probably would have went Martin if he didn't go right off the board before me.
Mm. So I... But it's interesting. We don't agree with position scarcity. So that's a real. That's an interesting thing.
You know, I don't agree with position scarcity early in the draft. I'm going straight for the numbers. But like I said, at some point in the draft, you have to consider it and address it when the tiers are falling off too much, or you're later in the draft and you haven't filled that starting position. First 6-7 rounds, I'm focusing on the best numbers that I can get.
So it almost sounds like, Scott, you want to almost tailor your tiers two different ways. Like have a position tiers and statistical tiers, right?
Right.
Is that
right? Well,
that sounds like a lot of work.
It's a combination of it, because like to Tony says, you know, you want to look at like the stats from at least the last years, ideally the last 3 years, and find out what won the league. So I know that at a certain point, you know, that the home runs are going to drop off as well. So I have to consider it in combination.
When you get to Russell Martin, for example, so basically I'd be looking at 20 home run guys, say there's like five or six left, and I would say, well, six of the six guys left of the 20 home run guys, I need a catcher, three are catchers,
sure.
But there's only one that's hit over 250.
Right.
So that would be the emphasis that I would get there.
Yeah.
I know I got it down to three players. Then I know that I've got only one guy that's hit at least 250. I got to make sure I get that guy.
Yeah, because I'm at a point now where I still don't have a catcher, and the only one guy that's going to give me a pretty good slugging percentage if he stays healthy and, you know, give me near 20 home runs is Matt Wieter, so he might be my next pick.
It's interesting. It's hard. It's hard to figure out how to do it. I'm sitting here myself right now and not sure how I should organize it, in all honesty. I may have thinking too much into it.
You're in a keeper league, though.
Yeah, baseball's different than every other sport, right? What do you think about in comparison to football? Because football, it's really a one-category sport. It's about points.
Yes.
So your whole mindset is totally different.
You're right.
When in fantasy baseball, we're actually having like 10 different leagues.
Right.
Each category, you're trying to compete in. You're trying to get balance in those leagues.
Exactly.
And so it's a whole different mindset when you talk about it from that perspective on how you prepare for a draft and what you should be thinking about during a draft. So you could say, and I've made this comment that we don't have fantasy football players, we don't have fantasy, we have fantasy players. But these are two different skills in these two types of formats.
You're 100% right, Tony. It's literally 10 different point things.
Yeah.
Like football is one, and this is 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So to me, that's what makes it a little harder. Are we, when we're talking about drinking and smoking and adult relations and eating, is that like too much? Are we just overthinking it and overanalyzing it?
I think when you get into a baseball mindset, I always feel like there's never enough analysis. Like it's a different mindset than football, I think. Football, we often say you're overanalyzing things, but in baseball, you don't think that way, because baseball is about minutia, it's about statistics, it's about math, etc. So I think it's a different mindset than football to me.
But Greg is talking about draft day prep. Are we looking too much into draft day prep, or do you just get up and go to the damn draft?
Like not even
trip. Yeah,
exactly.
I think you don't think about it, the day of the draft. But I think it makes for interesting conversation among us.
See, I'm different. I think that a conversation needs to be had because you do think about these certain things. Like I'm a draft, a live draft, even an online draft. I get into a certain pre-draft mode. You feel what I'm saying? I get into my thing. I get into, you know, whatever it takes to psych myself out, whatever I need to know. You know what I'm saying? If I'm in the online draft, you know what I mean? I know if I'm drafting on a turn, I know I'm going to bleed the clock all the way down both times because I want to get the other 11 guys rattled. I want to get them thinking off their game. If I'm in a live draft room, you know what I'm saying? I know that I might decide, okay, I'm just going to chill and sit in the corner and do my thing. Or maybe I'm going to be loud and obnoxious and, you know what I'm saying, and get the other people off their game. I remember a good story Nino told one time, but they was going to do in Tout Wars, they was going to have, like, a female entertainer, you know, come down to the afternoon where they were having the room they were having the draft in, and like, oh, I left my I don't have the keys to the room. I left it upstairs. She come down with a towel on, and then you go to hand her the towel, and the towel drops. And then the rest of the draft room was like, oh, they thinking about that rack the rest of the draft. You know what I'm saying? I'm like that kind of guy right there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I might send I might take like a meat mail, you know what I'm saying? Like a meat mail, like a boot pick, you know what I'm saying? And text it to everybody on the draft table. So when they look at their phone, they're like, oh, what is this? You know what I'm saying? And just throw their mindset off.
What is this guy?
That's who he is.
No, because think about it. You at the draft table and your phone go off and you're like, oh my God, what is, you know what I'm saying? That's going to, you know, it might.
Here's another thing though. It's like, during a live draft, I might shut my phone off.
Oh, you could do that. Yeah. See, but you got to be careful with that because if you want a clock and you and like last year, Guinness Street Tavern League.
Right.
Remember what happened right before the draft kicked off that morning?
No,
Romo's back. Found out that Romo had that broken back.
Yeah.
So if you got your phone off, you can miss something like that.
No, because I have my laptop on.
Oh, okay. That's true, too. That makes sense. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, But like, if you're like me though, don't you, Scott? Don't you get like a lot of pop-up updates? Like,
oh, we hear it all the time.
Yeah, don't you get the updates all the time, Scott, automatically to your phone, so you don't have to, you know, search for anything?
No, I more rely on the laptop, like during draft day.
Yeah. See, I got the team stream, you know what I'm saying, and I got you know, different sources that will just like boom, like you get an alert, like oh, you know what I'm saying, like
yeah. So I think actually.
Corey. That's a good point that you need to know. You know what? That is a specific incident. Tony Romo got it. We were drafted last year at Grand Street Tavern League, right in New York City, and news came over during the draft that Tony Romo was injured and out, and that would have been big. Yep. I mean,
you know, Dak Prescott was drafted that day.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Dez Bryant may have dropped a couple spots. Sure. So, you know, and my thing is when draft breaks during the news, I don't want to hear you say, oh, I didn't know that. You know what I mean?
Right.
No.
Especially if you're playing in the money league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're not taking nothing off the board because you didn't know that somebody got hurt. Listen, I hate this, that it's that way, but
there are different schools of thought on that, you know, in different leagues. Some guys just like, you know, I've been in drafts where people just draft an injured player and then like, you know, somebody will look at me and like I'll look at them and we'll just let it go. But then there's other people who go, he's injured, let's roll it back for him.
No, hell yeah. No. Mm-mm. This is serious business.
You know, it's interesting.
What's the proper etiquette there, right?
Yeah, that's...
Don't you keep your mouth shut until the next pick's made?
Yes. You know, it depends on...
Yeah.
I would say default, yes. But there are leagues where people will like... You know, people have different mindsets. You know, if it's like a really friendly league with people, would be like, roll it back. You know, it's like, it depends on who's in the league.
See, this is the part where I think you have to keep your mouth shut until the next pick. A guy can change his mind, to me, until that next pick is made. Once that next pick is made, I think that locks him in.
Right.
But let's just say a guy, let's say we're in the third round, and a guy says Trey Turner. Well, we obviously let him make another pick because Trey Turner's already been picked. So the same thing I think goes in play here when the guy says, oh, I'm going to take Tony Romo. And someone says, oh, and they laugh at him. And then if nobody else is picked yet, why can't he change his mind?
I agree with that.
That's why I think you have to shut your mouth until the next pick.
Well, do you say that about any player, though? Like if I pick, all right,
I'm Sean Jeffrey.
Let me do a baseball one, right?
Yeah.
All right. If I pick at the top of the draft, I'll just use that. I pick Mike Trout, right? And then you haven't picked yet, Corey. You're deciding between Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw.
I'm like, on the clock, and you're like,
and I'm like, you know what? I want Clayton Kershaw.
Fine.
You're cool with that.
I'm cool with that.
Really?
I'm cool with that. You do it before the pick is made, like Tony said. Before that next. See, the thing is, I'm not taking no picks off the clock. You make your pick, I make my pick. That's set. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't make my pick. You want to go back, I'm cool with that.
The only caveat I would have to that is once that sticker's on the board, I would say that's it because I don't want the... How do you take the sticker off the board, right?
Well, but along the same lines, in our leagues, we use a Google Doc, right? So to us, it's once you write it in the doc, it's over.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of people who are just like ready with their next pick. Bam.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You won't even get a chance to change your mind.
Well, that's something we do, and I told you, because we have that clock. And like I keep the clock in every draft, right? And I'll count it down loud in the room, right? 10, 9, 8, and so forth. And we have it. It's like a real draft that if you don't get your pick in, you can steal it. That is how, because you're ready. It's like you may be praying that some guy drops to you. And if this guy waits his full 3 minutes, you can get that guy. That's how we do it. Right. Now, some players in our room, and we've talked about this before on the show, some people in our room will be like, you know what? I have 2 minutes. I'll give you my time. I know who I'm getting. I don't care. Like, take your time. It doesn't matter. That's not me, man. If you give me the time, I'm going to make my pick.
Yeah. Let me ask you fellas this. Say, live draft, 11 of the participants make it. Mm-hmm. It's one dude that can't make it.
Right.
Right?
This is a great...
great question.
This is a great question. I'm glad you asked this.
How do you handle that player? Like, say he can't do FaceTime. Say he can't do, you know, the texting thing back and forth. And he's like, just go ahead and draft it for me.
So, I'll go first here. So, we have, like I said, my buddies in New York, right? All in New York. There's 12 team league. 10 of us are in New York. One's in North Carolina. One's in San Diego. This is where they live. Mm-hmm. Every year we come up with that night, that random night. We sit, everything's in a Google Doc. So, even though we're all sitting together, and it's not an auction. It's not an auction. Mm-hmm. It's a state draft. Even though we're all sitting together around the table or in a room or whatnot, everything's happening over the internet on Google Docs, so we're writing every name in. Mm. So this guy knows when it's his turn. Yeah. Even though I'm keeping track of time, he's on GChat where I can tell him 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So we do it like essentially as much as it is like he's there. Even though I'm not face-to-face with him, he's in the draft. We can see that he's in our draft, in the draft room, in the Google chat. We can see that.
I remember one time a guy couldn't show up for an auction, and we had him in on conference call.
Okay, but Boogie was like, my man Boogs, he was like, him and his wife.
Did he get a technical foul?
Had to go do, no. Him and his wife had to go do something. So he was like, yo, I'll be on a text with you because he wasn't going to be able to do whatever. So for the most part, we ended up waiting for him to text
pisses
back a
me.
Lot.
Pisses me
which
the
was
F
ridiculous,
off.
You know what I'm saying? And then he was like, well, just go ahead and draft it for me.
Mm-hmm. See, that
sucks, too.
Yeah. That puts you in a position.
Do you understand that Mickey Ficky won the league that year?
Yeah, that's puts you in a position because, like, you know, somebody will say, draft for me, right? And you'll have to be like, well, like, you know, you're two picks behind him, and a guy you want, you're like, if you take it for the other guy, you're helping him out.
My thing is, go in that position, go off the ADP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go off the ADP.
I got a lot of thought of this thing, right? So first of all, if you're the commissioner of the league, you're having a live draft for a reason.
Yeah.
So I don't want to make it easy for one guy to say, oh, you know what, my car doesn't work, this, and he gets – because I think people would do that. There would be people that would not come to the draft on purpose. So I don't
want
that to happen.
Why would they –
you got people – because they don't know what they're doing. So they prefer you somebody to draft their team for them.
Well, I think they would try to do it. Like, say we were doing it on ESPN, right? They would stay home and just draft it on ESPN. Or in Greg's case, they'll just throw in their picks with a Google document from their home. They won't participate in the live draft.
Right.
Which is something that
takes the fun away.
We don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second of all, I want to make sure that it's the emphasis to get there. And if you're a commissioner, that's why you have to get the money before the draft. If someone is going to take true ownership, once they pay, they are going to be there each and every time. Second is that guys get late or they get behind, so I don't mind taking a pick or two over the phone if they're, you know, on their way there. But if someone's not going to show up, in our situation, there's going to be plenty of guys there that basically have partners and things like that. I would take one of those guys and say, hey, draft this guy's team for him, and not let anyone draft two teams. I would have someone else step up there and figure it out. Or someone sitting at the bar that seems to know about, you know, fantasy sports, or someone like if we're at Vaccaro's bar and his brother-in-law's there, have his brother-in-law pick his team.
Yeah, every year at Big League Impact, you know, they have like 4 charity drafts at like Citi Field, and inevitably like 3-4 people will not show up. So what they do is they get either somebody to replace them, or they draft off the real-time fantasy sports, draft rankings.
Yeah.
The problem with doing that, what happens when a guy's hurt? Like, what is the...
It's a great point.
What is the proper protocol? Do you
put him
on the guy's roster?
The person that's usually emceeing the draft will usually, kind of like... I don't know what the word is. We'll kind of, like, oversee that in a way. So, you know, he's getting off the cheat sheet, but he's getting the next available, like, healthy player. There's a little bit of subjectivity involved in it.
I think it makes it very, very tough when when someone's not there in that respect. Like, we've had it, like, just take whoever. Just take the best third baseman available.
Yeah, that's the thing you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not, listen, this is draft day.
Yeah.
Not really more important days to people that are in this hobby than it is on draft day. I think it should be a priority to make it on draft day. And I'm not going to, you know, ruin my day to be drafting my team and worried about drafting your team also. So
right.
you go by the ADP, go by whatever the case. If you happen to get the dude that's hurt, then you know what? Damn it, you should have been here.
Yeah.
What happens though, like, you know, I think all of us here would make sure on every draft, but
sure.
Have we ever been in a situation of what would you feel in a situation where, like, you're really, really sick and you can't make the draft and you're stressing over it to the point where it's even making you more sick?
I'm going to be online somewhere. I'm going to be on the phone with somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing something to make sure that if the name of that team says the fantasy executive on it, mm-hmm. then I'm gonna figure out a way to draft it. If I
would ask you this,
double over. I'll send Noah to do it for me.
Yeah, because I was about to say, you know, what if you're in the ER, you know, or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks.
I'll send a list of players and I'll send somebody to the draft and say, hey, these are the guys we want. And then there's always one or two players you're like, whoa. Where was this on my list?
Yeah. Always, Tony. Always.
Yeah. Jeremy Maclin.
Always.
All right.
And that always happens.
Joey Gallo. Yeah.
We'll take a quick break here, gentlemen, and we'll get into we're going to do a team of day. Let's do that next. Team of day. Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Gonna get to a little football news a little bit later on in the program. Get excited for that.
It's that time of year, you know what I'm saying?
Combine let's coming not up. Say it's that time of year.
Combine, mm-hmm. You got the combine mm-hmm. franchise tag. Mm-hmm. This is big mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. But now we begin with the team of day here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, and it is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim today.
That's their name?
That's the name. They are technically the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Where do they play?
In Anaheim.
Okay.
I will give you gentlemen three pitchers. You tell me the one you want. Or maybe I should each make you take a pitcher. Should I do that? Is that more fun?
Don't start with me.
Okay, I won't start with you. You each tell me who you want. All right.
Chewing.
I'll start with Tony because I'll give you a little break where you're chewing, as you said. Tony, Garrett Richards, Tyler Skaggs, Matt Shoemaker. Who you got?
For me, it's Matt Shoemaker. The shoe is a guy that hot and cold pitcher, but strikeout ability, which the other two, Skaggs could have it too, but Shoemaker, 30 years of age, a late starter in life. You're right, a late starter in life. He has 8 strikeouts per 9. Last year, an ERA, 3.83. I like this Shoemaker. I think the sexier pick would be either of the two other pitchers, but I like this guy. Matt Shoemaker's a guy that I would pick at the end of my draft.
There's a lot of excitement surrounding Skaggs, and, you know, he could be the gem out of this group, but I'm with Shoemaker, too. He pitched really well after he got off to a bad start last year. I expect much better numbers over a full season. I think he could be a real nice value in a lot of drafts.
I don't want to say the same dude as everybody else.
Well,
I didn't
make you take somebody else.
So I'm gonna take Garrett. I understand tough times last year, and of course bouncing back from the surgery. So give him a full season to bounce back. So you get him a full season of bouncing back from the Tommy John surgery. Did he have it? Wait a minute.
No, he didn't.
He had the stem cell. So he got the stem cell. So not worried about his health going into this season. As long as he can stay healthy, you know the K to 9 is going to be close to 9, a strikeout per inning. So I will go. I agree with the gentleman on Matt Shoemaker, but I'll take Garrett Richards because I took him in the mock draft, and I don't think that is too much to lose there, and I still think he's the ace of the staff.
Shoemaker, you talked about Tony just taking late in the draft. Like, I would even take him a little bit earlier. I had him during that second half run where he basically figured it out last year, where he was striking out people at an absurd rate.
He started using the split finger a lot more, and it mm-hmm. really worked for him.
Mm-hmm. Changed everything. Yeah. Like, he's better than like a elite round flyer type of guy, I believe.
And there's some fantasy analysts who are actually skeptical you know, with Richards, like that he didn't get the surgery and went with the stem cell procedure.
But I think it's the same thing with Tanaka, right? Like they're skeptical about him as well, and you waited on him as well. And
You know. There's a lot of palpable excitement, though, when you talk to people about Skaggs around baseball, because he had a really good arsenal before that surgery and the command started to come back. And if the control comes back next, you could have a really nice gem on your hands.
See, and that's what I'm thinking. And that's kind of my thing here. I'll pose this question to you, fantasy analysts. Who has the most chance to be the better chance? If any of these guys were to be elite this season, who would it be?
I think it's a great question, and it's to be elite.
See, I think Richards has elite stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know if the other guys do.
I don't know.
I think Skaggs might have the best stuff of the three.
I think Shoemaker could.
When you pure stuff, I like Shoemaker the best as the pick. You know, if Skaggs is more of a shot in the dark than the other two. I don't think any of them could be elite. But if I think somebody can really rise above expectations and impress, it might be Skaggs.
I think they're all very similar. I really do. Let me check out their ADPs.
See, yeah. Garrett Richards, though, he's never struck people out, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was healthy, we're talking about fives and sixes in strikeouts.
So, just so you know, NFVC ADP, Shoemaker's going 229, Richards 249, Skaggs 335.
It's a good bargain. Hell of a bargain.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. All three of these Angels, are they worth picking, Corey?
I'm really not in on any of them, you know what I'm saying, to be honest with you.
I think I'm in on all of them, to be honest.
I think they all make sense at some point, but Shoemaker, you look at what he did, like after the slow start, like we talked about, and the upside of Skaggs, it's like, you know, I'm in on those two guys.
Well, I mean, I know Shoemaker again because I had him last year. This is when, like, having somebody makes you realize how good they were, I think. Yeah. So I had So I had Shoemaker, and I saw it. And my only question with him is, he got hit in the head. And how does that affect you when you're pitching? Like, that's scary crap.
I'm not fooling with that.
You know, it doesn't matter to you, or you don't want somebody to get hit in the head?
No, I don't want nobody got hit in the head.
Yeah. They recovered.
He's recovering, but that's scary.
That's scary. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You're just scared enough that you're not going to pick him again? He's recovered.
How long ago did he get hit in the face? Last season?
Yeah.
Did he pitch after he got hit in the face? Nope, I wouldn't do it.
He's back pitching now, though.
But Scott, you don't know until you get a line drive back at you how you're going to react to it.
True, but, you know, we're talking about a very late pick, so.
I don't put it like this. I know personally, If I'm a pitcher and I throw the ball and it comes back and hit me in the face, I'm retiring.
You can hit him in the head, fracture his skull.
It's over.
Yeah.
I think Shoemaker, from when I listen to these shows, is like people really are over-exaggerating at how good he was at the end of the year.
Okay.
If you look at it from July 27th, he had a game with one strikeout. The next game, 4-3-3-5-3-7-2. He wasn't that good.
No, that's not very good. That's not very good. Certainly strikeout-wise, it's not very good.
Because you remember, he had a 13-strikeout game and 11-strikeout game. But one was in June, one was in July.
Right.
And, you know, and he had a couple seven, so he got on a little run. But he didn't end the season as big as people, the perception is. And I listen to other shows, and I hear the same thing. And I'm like, no, that's not really true.
So maybe you're right. So maybe the better thing here to say is, almost like after April, I mean, if you look at after April, he was going deep into games. Maybe not striking out the guys at the rate we all realize, but he was going relatively deep into games here, giving you six, seven innings pretty regularly.
To Tony's point, I think people look at it, looking at it more like he was so bad in April and he wasn't the rest of the way.
Yeah, and he had four double-digit strikeout performances, which if you basically go through all of Major League, that's elite. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of pitchers that are going after 200 that had four games of double-digit strikeouts.
Yeah, so Tony's not saying that this guy's, like, bad by any means. You know, he's just not as good as people think.
I think that people here are a little a little forgetful because we all remember the big games, but those were a little spaced out. And I think it's a gamble. Like 220 is a good spot for me. I mean, we're not talking about a guy. We're talking about a guy in the 16th, 17th round of your drafts, and a guy has double-digit strikeout performance. Yes, that could be in there. But when you listen to shows and people talk about Shoemaker, they get excited about it. So I think he could
excited to what point? Yeah. Like recommending him in what round? Like. You know,
Well, you hear people, Shoemaker, he was great in the, you know, at the end of the season. And I was like, he wasn't really great at the end of the season. He had a 13 strikeout performance in July. And then he had, you know, games of three or less, you know, were the norm.
Corey, you had said just earlier in the show that, give me the old veteran. I'm not messing with Jose Barrios, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. Is Matt Shoemaker the type of veteran that you're talking about? And that's that, you know, the 18th round here?
Not really the veteran I'm talking about. I can see it.
But what else are you looking for then? I mean, this is a guy here that last year.
I mean, he's pitched three big league seasons in the majors. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He already been consistently under three, except for the one season where he blew up. So, I think I would want somebody a little bit more seasoned. But in this case, I get where you're coming from, and he's coming late. But you got to. Oh, you saying that him and Barrios are going in like the same round range?
I didn't say that. I'm just Barrios going a little later. Would you rather have Matt Shoemaker or Adam Wainwright? Because there's an old veteran.
That's a veteran right there.
Back of the baseball card.
Back of the baseball card. But disappointing. Last season's disappointment is kind of a little bit too much for me to look past.
So you're going Shoemaker?
I would go Shoemaker.
What about you, Scott?
Man. Wow. That's a real tough one, Greg. Wainwright is the type of guy, you know, that has that savvy that he can just rebound. I feel like, though, that Shoemaker is probably going to be, but then Shoemaker, you know, maybe he's a little bit of safer to rebound. You know, if I know he's fine by after his first few spring training outings, I'd probably go Shoemaker.
Tony?
I go Matt Shoemaker. I just the injuries of mounting up Adam Wainwright, a lot of miles on the 35-year-old pitcher. I'm definitely going to go Shoemaker. I won't draft Adam Wainwright on any team.
How come?
I just think that we're going to have he's done. There'll be a couple starts where he allows seven runs in two innings, and he can't rebound from that. I call it the Bronson Arroyo statistic, sure. Where every year Arroyo had one game where he would allow 10 runs in an inning, and it would kill you. ERA and can't rebound from it. There's no way I'm going to roster Adam Wainwright.
We continue with a team of day. I have to ask Tony about his guy, Cole Kell, who we're also going to get to DeMar DeRozan going about 10 minutes from now. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tony told us yesterday that Cole Calhoun is, you know, a guy that is going way too low right now. A guy that everyone's kind of forgotten about because you think of the Angels, you think of Mike Trout, you think of nobody else, maybe Albert Pujols, but we're not thinking at all about Cole Calhoun. Calhoun is somebody, well, let me ask you, I mentioned Pujols. Who would you rather have, Albert Pujols or Cole Calhoun?
I'd probably rather, both of these guys are hurt. You know, in a way. And I'll get more into the Calhoun thing in a second. But, you know, I have reason to believe that, you know, Calhoun could get off to both these guys could get off to very slow starts. But I feel like I'm going to get more overall pop from Pujols with a higher batting average. Now, I'm going to lay this out, and you guys take it for what it's worth, because the interview I did the other night for my Inside Report for the exclusive Edge package, I like Calhoun probably a lot for the same reasons that Tony's going to throw out here. He, he cut down on his strikeout rate. I think if he stays healthy, the power can come back. But I was told by a guy, and I'm not a doctor. This is what was told to me. We can even check with Dr. A when he comes on tomorrow, that when you try to recover from the type of core muscle surgery that he's going to recover from, it takes a lot out of you, and it takes a while to recover. And Cole Calhoun may not be himself till like June or July. So I'm going to go Pujols, even though he's got a foot injury.
Tony?
I go Albert Pujols, too, and I think Scott brings up a good point. The problem with Pujols is that he's been dealing with this injury for a while, a couple years now, and he finds a way to play through it. You know, speculation is now that he might not be ready for opening day, but somehow the guy always shows up. And the guy, throughout his career, has come back from injuries every single time, Albert Pujols. I'll never forget when they thought he was going to be out the year.
Yeah,
he played, what, 2 weeks later? It was the craziest thing ever.
He was hitting bombs.
I don't know what he does or how he does it, but he's always out there, and he's coming off a 31 home run season. He actually, in his, since he's gone to the Angels, he doesn't get the credit he deserves for how well he's played with these various amounts of injuries.
Corey?
Yo, I'm going to go pull. I'm going to continue to go pull host also, but that thing scares me because remember, I did the demonstration for y'all. You remember what I'm saying? So stepping on that back foot like that,
yep,
it's going to be troublesome trying to hit a baseball, not to mention the fact Albert Pujols is getting a little bit up there in age. I still like him, but I would I'd be very concerned about the injury on both these players.
To Tony's point, though, like he's always shown a real propensity to bounce back quicker than other people. I know
until
he's other than age. I mean, you know, with all due respect, Corey, it's like, you can't compare yourself to a professional athlete.
I'm not comparing myself.
When you get up and stand and say, okay, if I do this, my foot hurts, because, you know, these guys are in difficult physical specimens.
Where do you think the injury comes from, Scott?
These are different physical. I know where it comes from, but these are different physical specimens.
I'm not talking about me, Scott. Where do you think the injury comes from?
In terms of what?
His foot. How do you think he hurt the foot?
Playing baseball.
There you go.
But I don't. Wait, there you go. What's your point?
He's going to continue to play. The foot hurts from playing baseball, and it's probably from that motion of putting all that pressure on that back foot. He has to do that again, and he's getting older. He's not getting any younger.
Well, we've heard that. I've always heard that about Pujols.
All right.
I mean, if we're going to compare it to Calhoun, I'm not going to use that as a tiebreaker.
You're not going to use what as a tiebreaker?
You know, basically saying, you know, like, you know, if I do that, my foot hurts, so, you know.
I'm not saying me, myself, personally, but the injury more than likely comes from that motion.
It very possibly does.
What if he hits a foul ball off it?
What's that?
What if he hits a foul ball off it?
Well, what are the odds of that?
I mean, you never know. What if he get hitting a pitch get away and he get hit in foot?
That could happen to anybody without a foot injury.
Right.
Yeah, that's true too. But his foot already hurts.
Yeah, but both these guys are injured though. But like to Tony's point, I've seen Pujols come back from it all the time. You're talking about a surgical procedure that I've been told, you know, by somebody I really respect that, you know, that, and we can ask Dr. A about it tomorrow, that this guy, you know, it could bother him to the point where, like, his whole first half is very disappointing. Pujols can come back at, like, the end of April and be Pujols again.
What did the source say about Pujols' foot?
I didn't ask him about it. We could ask I think those are two good players to ask Dr. A about tomorrow.
I'm just curious. Your source knew about Cole Calhoun, but not all.
Well, I didn't ask him about Pujols.
Okay.
One more Angels question I want to ask you guys, and also is injury related here. Who would you rather have, Tony, Cam Bedrosian or Houston Street?
Oh boy, this is crazy. Bedrosian he's dealing with injuries now, so. I'll go with Houston Street because I think he'll get the job to start, and not knowing what the situation with Bedrosian, I'd go Houston Street. But if I got better news on Cam Bedrosian, I would go with him. I don't think there's any way Street ends the year as a closer.
I agree with that.
I'm going to go Street because you got two guys who are both injury risks here, but at least, you know, Street, when he's out there, he's more proven. So Bedrosian has two injuries last year and he's injured again. So you know, it's the unproven injury guy over the proven injury guy, and I'll take the proven injury guy.
Corey?
I'm going to go with Cam.
Okay.
I just think Cam has better stuff. I don't think the injury is that serious. You know what I'm saying? The blood clot, not an issue no more. He had that removed from his arm. The groin injury is more than likely a minor injury, so it's a situation to continue to monitor because he's a guy that people are speculating on, Bedrosian. And he, like, we agree that people agree that we think he's going to have the job when the majority of the season. So I'm going to go with Cam.
We take a break here. When we come back, it's time to hear from DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. We'll break that down. We'll break down what we are, the Kyle Lowry injury, what that means for Corey Joseph. Look, a little Raptors. So the exclusive interview with DeMar DeRozan is next here on the Roto Expert in the Morning. We return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And last night, Scotty had the opportunity to go to the Knicks and the Raptors and was able to catch up with DeMar DeRozan after the game, Scotty.
Yeah, and you know, here's an interview which covered a few subjects with him. You know, after spoke about last night's game, he'll talk. You'll hear him talk about the, you know, the winning shot against the Knicks with Derrick Rose guarding him. You'll also hear, when I ask him about, you know, taking it up for Kyle Lowry, you'll also hear Lowry actually chime in you know, to the interview, and then he'll talk about you know, Corey Joseph being in the starting lineup and the recent acquisitions. But first, I asked him, last night was the team's 16th come-from-behind win when trailing by double figures, the best in the NBA, and what does that show about the character of his ball club?
Sense of urgency kick in, you know. We never want to lose. You know, when we get big, when we get down big like that, you know, we try to pick it up and fight a lot harder. You know, it's a bad thing to get down that much, but, you know, it just shows you the fight in us. I seen a gap in the defense, you know. I came off and, you know, I was more so thinking just catch it and get to my shot, you know, one dribble pull up. But I seen a hole, and I just took it and went straight to the basket. Yeah. They was playing it a lot different than I thought they would play it. And, you know, as soon as I seen that, I seen a hole, and, you know, I was just trying to be aggressive from there. When you're in the gym by yourself working on shots, honestly, you know, you don't worry about the crowd. You don't worry about, you know, everything seemed like it just slowed down. You know, the repetitions that you do all summer during the season over and over and over, you know, you honestly just get stuck in that zone for that, you know, couple seconds. As long as I get a clear shot, you know, I got a good chance of it going in. I never think about the defender. You know, we just try to get a switch, see if we could get the defense to mess up. But other than that, I never think about the defender or who guarding. I don't think score more. I think more so, you know, just me being more conscious of using my ability that I could score to, you know, cause more attention on myself. And I got to be a better, you know, playmaker out of that. You know, as long as I do that and guys go out there and be better for us, it'll make my job a lot easier. For some reason, you know, it's like we prone of to understanding, you know, bad news when somebody is out, and we just go from it. You know, we don't complain, we don't cry about it, because at the end of the day, we still gotta go out there and play.
Is this one of the more satisfying nights for you?
No, it's not. I wasn't out there with him.
That's a little man on your shoulder. Is that little man on your shoulder?
Yeah, that's the bad side too. I forgot your question.
You have 40-point games and averaging the most points of your career, but was this the most satisfying for you?
It's always great playing in the garden. For some reason, I love playing in the garden, and, you know, it's just something about, you know, them lights and playing in New York. You know, I wouldn't, you know, say that, but, you know, you could put it up. I want to be the guy that make my teammate better, and I want to make teams make a decision on, you know, you gotta think about if you're going to blitz me or you're going to take away the other four guys. I mean, we've been playing together for a couple years now. We understand one another, and nobody's selfish on this team. Nobody have ego, so when you put that into play, our chemistry, you know, is great. Veteran guys coming in, they defensive-minded, and, you know, when you add two guys like that that's defensive-minded, it shows. You know, guys still, we don't have the offense down pack like we want to, so we try to go out there and play, try to make plays happen on the go. But, you know, we got to be more conscious of that, you know, and we will be.
So, you know, DeRozan there, like, talking towards the end about, you know, Corey Joseph. We didn't see Joseph with a lot of assists last night, but it's clear, like, you know, DeRozan was doing a lot of the ball handling last night, and it was kind of like, okay, if I don't have this shot, I'm giving it to you, Corey, and, you know, until I get back into the position I want, he's pretty much dominating the offense. This is not a team that gets a lot of assists anyway. They only had two assists in the first half, so he also told me there was a real emphasis on ball movement and defense more in the second half. Coming into the game, in the last three games, they had only let up 96 points per game, and they let up only 91 last night, but DeRozan's obviously got to take on a bigger role. I mean, we're going to hear from Damari Carroll tomorrow. Some of these other guys have to pick it up in other ways, and it was pretty funny when you know, Kyle Lowry like popped up in that interview from like above the crowd, and I said, was, you know, this win most satisfying for you? And he said, no, because I wasn't there. You know, there's another point where he's like, You're saying, you know, stop talking to the effing media, and, you know, you got to, like, say goodbye to me. You know, even though Larry was hurt, he seemed to be in very good spirits. You know, they won last night. They're now 4-0, I think, without Kyle Lowry. But, you know, they play really well in the second half. They were down by 17 in the first. It took a while to get their rhythm.
What was interesting to me, Corey, about the interview was that DeMar DeRozan, so what we all think, which is amazing to me, it's still a thing playing in the Garden. Even though they suck, it's still a thing.
Yeah.
You're good. You're in.
The, I mean, you grew up wanting to play in Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. So they kind of don't have the loathe for it that I now do. You know what I'm saying? So for him, gentleman from, you know, from Compton, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I get to come to New York and play in Madison Square Garden. So that's cool for him.
Yeah, and to that point, too, it's like, even though they're playing so well and you hear a lot of boos, you know, they're still playing the pack houses every night.
That's the problem. That's why they're not going to ever get any better.
They're playing the packed houses, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tony?
If you grow up, though, you grow up and you know, want to play basketball and you dream to be an NBA player growing up, there's really only two arenas that you dream of playing, in the Forum or Madison Square Garden. And that's it. I mean, I remember I went to the Yankees-Red Sox when the Yankees sucked back in the old Yankee Stadium. And the Red Sox sucked. I think they were like in fourth or fifth place. And it was like going to church because you grew up watching Yankee Stadium and all these big games. So it doesn't matter how bad the Knicks are right now. When you dreamed of hitting a three-point shot to win an NBA title, it was at the Forum or it was at Madison Square Garden that you're dreaming about.
It was interesting last night, too, because some of the media were commenting about, you know, how DeRozan, you know, in the past was criticized for being an inconsistent mid-range shooter. And, you know, he was hitting he hit a big key three-pointer last night. He's playing the best basketball career of his career. You know, he's fifth in the NBA in scoring, and he has 4 40-point games, including 43 against the Celtics. And with Corey Joseph, we didn't see a lot of assists last night. And, you know, defensively, you know, now it ramps up for him. You know, he gets John Wall this week. He had Isaiah Thomas last week. He had, to a lesser degree, had DeMar DeRozan last night. So he's known for his defense, but, you know, now he's going to get some really challenging assignments.
He's going to have to, obviously, step up in Kyle Lowry's absence here. And in this coming week, we'll also hear Scotty's interviews with P.J. Tucker, with Damari Carroll. It should be a fun week, sir.
Yeah, it was interesting covering the Raptors last night. You know, even though the Knicks lost last night, it was a very exciting game. You know, the Knicks dominated the first half. They moved the ball better, but, you know, they came out with the second unit at the start of the second half, and the Raptors scored the first 8 points, and immediately they were back in it. The crowd was booing because the Knicks blew the lead, but I had known that stat about, you know, how this team has continually come back, Toronto. And, you know, now they have to be more of a different team. It's like, you know, they acquired these guys, and, you know, to be more of a defensive type of team, if you will, with P.J. Tucker and Serge Ibaka, because they were really just all about offense, and they feel like if they want to contend, you know, they have to have some toughness and, you know, and some veteran guys in there, and that's why they acquired Ibaka and Tucker sort of to go with Carroll.
You know, it's really interesting. Scotty gave the stat, Tony, that the Raptors are 4-0 in games without Kyle Lowry, but without DeMar DeRozan, the Raptors were sinking.
Well, it's crazy. DeMar DeRozan, I think, like, from a fantasy perspective, once you lose Lowry, his usage rate went up, I don't know, something like 30%, something crazy. It went up statistically. So he just takes the offense on himself. Lowry, more of a point guard mentality than a shoot-first point guard, that I could see him struggling, putting the pressure on himself to try to score there. And that team needs him. Serge Ibaka last night was, man, I had him on a bunch of, he didn't score in the first quarter. He had no points. He was 0 for 3. I was like, what the hell is going on here? And thank God he put something on the table.
Yeah, he did, like, because, you know, the Knicks were all over DeRozan in the first half, and nobody else was doing anything. And, you know, the ball movement started to pick up. Like I said, they only had 2 assists at halftime, and 4 Knicks had already had 2 assists.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The players hate the Raptors coaching staff and their whole style of play.
They do.
The Raptors are really trying to be old school, half court defensive team.
Yep.
And the players hate it. That's a bad situation that's brewing in Toronto.
It's a good point. It's what actually Orlando tried to do this season. It didn't work. They had to scrap the whole thing because they tried to be this old school, grind it out with Vukovic in at center and Ibaka power forward, and you have Biyombo, and they were going to just go huge when everyone went small. And it didn't work, and the players revolted, and they're totally changing course now, putting Aaron Gordon at power forward, who Frank Vogel says, oh yeah, he's much better at power forward than at small forward.
Yeah, and just real quick, what a player like DeRozan could do for that team's confidence. First game without Larry, he hits that big, big shot. He doesn't make it. You know, maybe the air in that locker room is different. And, you know, this video of him out there this morning, right before he hit the shot, he was saying to Carmelo Anthony, buckets, buckets, buckets.
Buckets, buckets, buckets. Everyone's talking trash. Hey, we come back, speaking of talking trash, we'll name that player. More NBA talk coming up at the bottom of the hour. My DFS lineup's at 9:45. But next, we name that player. A little baseball talk for you next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.